Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Thank you for tuning into the Word of God through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach Telecast. My name is Apostle Alan E. Coleman, Jr., and as a Lord Lee, we're going to get right into this and utilize the time that God has given us to feast on this Word. I'd like to first open up with prayer, so please join me while you're while we're in prayer. If you can turn on Luke 22, but let's pray first. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive us for our sins. Thank you for joining us together. Forgive us for our shortcomings. Forgive us for our faults and for our wrongs. Thank you for this time of handpicking us, choosing to speak to us, to reveal mysteries to us, to challenge us, to correct us, to inform us, to reveal things to us. Thank you for choosing us to be part of that remnant, O God, that you have prepared for such a time as this. With all this craziness going on in the world, your people are being bamboozled and led astray, O God. So we need you to move. We need you to talk. We need you to show your power. We just need you to be God right now. Allow me to decrease that you may increase. I'm asking for the word of wisdom and for the word of knowledge and a spiritual understanding of your word. As you allow me, as you allow us to look at your word, allow your word to stand out to us. Let us see some things that we have never seen before, and those that you need to call in, if any, I ask, O God, that you don't allow them to be distracted, but that you strengthen them to be focused in the name of Jesus. And you didn't pay the phone bill. You sure did. So please allow the phone to be used for prayer. We thank you for hearing us and for answering us. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we pray. Amen. I'd like to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 22, and we're going to cover three short verses, verses 31, 32, 33, and 34. Actually, that's four short verses. And while you're finding that, allow me to be used by God to read the description of this lesson as is the custom. Brother Peter, some things you might want to notice about Peter and remember is that he wasn't educated. He used to curse. He was a coward. He couldn't deal with pressure. Jesus rebuked him. There were things wrong with him. He even lied about knowing Christ. He let his emotions lead him at times. He was one of Jesus' inner friends. In this inner circle, there was James and John, who were the sons of Zebedee, and they also were called the sons of thunder. Even though Peter's brother Andrew is the one that brought him to Christ, Peter was the only one out of he and his brother that was in Jesus' inner circle, thus permitting him to see some things that the other nine disciples didn't see or partake in. Peter walked on water as the Lord empowered him. Peter witnessed the transfiguration where the Lord spoke with Moses and Elijah, the prophet. Peter also witnessed his mother-in-law being healed by Jesus. He's had some good points and some bad points, just like us. The advantage that he had that we don't have is that he saw and walked with Jesus during Jesus' earthly ministry. You would think that there should have been no flaws in this brother's walk. You would think that Peter would have strong faith because he was walking with Jesus. There were a few personal problems that he had that caused him to mess up when it came to his walk. And one of them was his mouth. He didn't know when to shut up. Jesus was trying to tell him something that was instituted by Satan, a hit on his life. Satan had been discussing Peter and asked if he could have Peter, that he, Satan, may sift him as wheat. He wanted to pick Peter apart. Jesus was trying to warn Peter, but Peter talked as if Jesus was wrong and as if Peter was ready for the attack on his life. Some of us have done that. Some of us still do that. We don't know how to shut up. During the take it in season, some of us still want to put out. Jesus wants to ask this question in this lesson. If you really knew what God was saying, then why is he having to teach it to you again? Let's now get into Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. I'm in the King James Version. The scripture says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." The thought of this lesson that God gave me is part two of the teaching series from last night called God Gave You What He Knew That You Needed. Why do you choose to get in the way? And the title is what God wants to say is, if you really knew what God was saying, then why is he having to teach it to you again? Let's say our grace. Father, again, we thank you for blessing us to come before you. We ask that you forgive us for our sins and that you talk to us, that you speak to us even now through your word. And Lord, you only told me to write down definitions, but you have to give me the content of this lesson. And I'm asking that you do it because some of us, all of us, many of us, and those that you have handpicked, we need to hear from you. So please move in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we pray. Amen. The Lord told Peter something that was very important for Peter to know. You know, a lot of times when the Lord uses a word to come from this ministry, you'll see in some of the broadcasts where God will use me to read sometimes chapters, sometimes paragraphs. But this is one time that God said, just read four short verses. Because in these four short verses, there is so much meat in them. And if we are looking for God to better us, if we are wondering why we go through certain things we go through, why certain attacks, why certain hindrances from the enemy, why is it that every time we try to do right, we always end up doing wrong, then these four verses are going to be used by God to inform us. All we have to do is listen. The Lord warned Peter. You know, as me and my fiance were talking recently, the Lord led me to share that the disciples, they had an advantage. They were walking with God. They didn't have to look up toward heaven to pray about anything because God was with them. All they had to do was look at him, thank you, Lord, and get every answer that they needed. They should have been much more prepared. A lot of times that's what we say. We say, well, if I was walking with Jesus, then I would have done this and I would have done that. It's easy to say that when you're outside of the fight. It's easy to say that when you're just turning the pages. It's easy to say that in 2015, where we know who Jesus is because we've done much research throughout the scriptures and saw behind the scenes through the testaments, through the stories, through the chapters and the verses. But you can bet believe if any of us were walking with the Lord, we would go through the same attacks that those brethren did that we read about. Even though they knew that Jesus was the Son of God, they still went through certain attacks. Even though we see God do many things in our lives and how God has brought us from so far, we still have those moments where we disappoint God. We still come short. So we can't point the finger at Peter and say, boy, he didn't take advantage of the opportunity, because we don't either. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold. Now the word behold means look. So he was very serious about this. This is why he called his name twice. Simon, Simon, look. Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. There was something later, some things that we saw how God used Peter greatly. So it's important to know that when God is elevating you, or has elevated you, or want to elevate you, remember that Satan has a meeting concerning you in hell. Yes, he does. He has his own board meetings. He has his own demons. He has his own cohorts, and he knows the saved from the unsaved. If you really are a Christian, if you really are a man or woman of God, if you're really walking with God, you will go through demonic attack. Always remember that. In this 31st verse, we see that Satan experiences emotion, which is a trait that displays the fact that he has personhood and that he's not a thing. He desired to have Peter because he wanted to sift him as wheat. Now, I'd like to take a moment to let you know that sift is from the Greek word syniadzo, and it's used only one time in the New Testament, and this is that time. And it's from another Greek word called sinion, which means a sieve, and it also means to riddle. Syniadzo means to sift, to shake in a sieve. Figuratively, it means by inward agitation to try one's faith to the verge of overthrow. Did you catch that? By inward agitation, not outwardly, inwardly. Because the enemy tries to attack you on the inside. He tries to go against your spirit man, especially when you're connected to God. He uses your mind and fills it with all kind of demonic suggestions and inspirations and thoughts. And what happens is what God is saying in your spirit, because that's what God talks, is contrary to where and what Satan is saying to your mind. So you have two that are trying to get a message to us, but they both are talking to us in different areas of our inward man, not outward, but our inward man. God is ministering to our spirit because he's a spirit. So our relationship with him is spiritual. And the enemy is a spirit also, but he tries to talk to our mind. If you ever notice, before you get highly upset at somebody or something, it first starts out as a thought. And the more you think on it, the angrier you'll get. Why? Because the enemy uses our mind as his playground. So the Lord was informing Peter that Satan wanted to sift him. He wanted to overthrow him inwardly. And sieve is a utensil consisting of a wire or plastic mesh held in a frame and is used for straining solids to a pulp. Now, those of you that are cooks, you would definitely know that. The synonym for a sieve is a strainer, a sifter, a filter, riddle, and screen. It's that thing that you put flour in, and you want to sift it and break down the chunks. Satan wanted to break Peter's inward man down. The Lord said in verse 32, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." And faith here is from the Greek word pistis, which is a conviction of the truth or anything, even a belief. And it's of a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. It's also the system of religious gospel truth itself. This word pistis is used 244 times in the New Testament, and 239 times is referred to as faith. One time is referred to as assurance, and one time is referred to as belief. The Lord was telling Peter that Satan has asked to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that your assurance, that your conviction of the truth faileth not. Faileth from the Greek word eklipo, and by implication it means to cease. Simple as that. The Lord was just saying, but I have prayed for you. I've interceded for you. And it was already done. He said, I have prayed, ED, meaning past tense, for thee that thy conviction doesn't cease. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Strengthen thy brethren. The Lord was telling him, when you get it together, when you come back to me, when you get over this attack and I have, and you pull it, you pull through. See, he was guaranteed to pull through because Jesus said, I have prayed for thee that your faith fails not. So the intercession was done before the foundation of the earth were laid. It was appointed and destined for Peter to have this bout, this scrimmage, this fight with the enemy. The spiritual warfare that we all are going through has already been predestined. It was bound to happen. Because as long as you walk with God, remember, you are going to be attacked by the enemy. The enemy doesn't attack anybody that's not doing nothing. He doesn't attack nobody that's not a threat to his kingdom. People that are broken down, watered down Christians, the devil don't even mess with them. He let them go to church. He let them read the Bible. He'll let them pray. He'll let them sing. He'll let them preach. He'll let them do all of that. But if they have no power, if they're not living what they are talking about, they are no threat to him. He does not mind a Christian being a watered down Christian. It's only when you have power. It's only when you are serious about your walk. It's only when you're really connected to God that the enemy desires to have you. But the Lord said, he's prayed for us. He's already interceded for us. He already safeguarded our conviction. Thank you, Lord. I hear you. God said that's why he brought us through so much. That's why he reminds us of what he brought us through, because we have to have a fresh testimony all the time, because we overcome the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So if you can remember the stuff God brought you through, that every time the enemy shows his ugly head, then you have something there to pull you through. The devil has a hard time when you really follow God. He has a hard time bothering you. And the Lord told Peter, again in verse 32, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Just because you're going through this spiritual warfare, don't think that your mission is over, because it's not. Again, the Lord, catch that revelation. The Lord told Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. In other words, again, after you get it together, after you pull through, after you make it through this attack, after you've gotten the victory, get back to work. Get back on your post. Because this is not going to throw you. It's not going to pull you away from the Lord. He said no man can pluck you out of his Father's hand. So especially once you are saved, sanctified, which means set apart, filled with the Holy Ghost, you are sealed. Because the Holy Ghost, he seals you so that you cannot leave him. If you can leave him, then you never was his in the first place. If you can walk away from ministry, if you can walk away from the gospel, if you can walk away from your Christian walk, then you weren't saved in the first place. I've heard people say, well, there is no such thing as once saved, always saved. Yes, it is. Because if you're really, really, really saved, if you are really born again, then you will not leave him. You can't leave him. Why? Because as the scripture says, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. When you know what he's brought you through, when you know what he's brought you from, when you know how he's brought you through, you can't leave him. There's no fault in him. There's no way we can leave him. So he told Peter, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. Get back to work. And in verse 33, here's where Peter messed up at. Because he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both in the prison and stuff. Now here's where the Lord said Peter had a big mouth, because he didn't know what he was talking about. Now imagine this. God himself is telling this brother, Satan has to have you. He honored to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. The Lord was warning him. This was God he was talking to. This wasn't merely a prophet. This wasn't merely a pastor. This wasn't merely an apostle. This wasn't merely a teacher or an evangelist. This was God that was talking to him. And he going to stand there and try to match wits with God. He going to sit there and tell God, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Well, if you remember in Acts chapter 12, he experienced that, where he was in prison and he was set to die the next day. And actually, it was so much that the Lord sent an angel to let him out of prison. So you got to watch what you say. If God is sending a word to you telling you you're not ready, don't tell God you are. What you need to do is say, Lord, make me ready. What you need to do is say, Lord, work on me. If God shows you that you have an issue, that's him trying to say to you, I want to fix this. Let him fix it. Because if you sit there trying to do a Peter and you say, Lord, I'm ready, I arrived, I'm delivered, and yet and still, you still going through the same things, my brother, my sister, you're not delivered. We have to know our issues. We have to know what we do that displeases God. We have to know where we come short, and we can't look at ourselves and say, well, I know what my issue is. Not on your own, you don't. We have to say, Lord, show me. Oh, glory. Let me see myself with your eyes, because if I see myself with your eyes, then I'll see what you see. And then help me to understand what I'm seeing so I can understand what you want to do about it. And then give me the strength the brother David wrote, I believe it's the 51st Psalm, Lord forgive me if I'm wrong, where he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. What he was saying was, remind me of how good it is to be saved. Restore my joy unto me. Help me to enjoy being saved. He also said, take not thy free spirit, or take not thy spirit from me. Uphold me with thy free spirit. He was saying, don't leave me. Keep me. Build me up, Lord, because I need you. Listen, there's nowhere in the world that we can make it without God. The Lord had to tell Peter in verse 34, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. That's deep. And see, then when it happened and the rooster crowed, the Bible says that the Lord just looked at Peter. He didn't even say nothing. He just looked at him. Sometimes God can just look at us and remind us that he tried to warn us. It says in Jeremiah chapter 2, I believe, that our sin, our wickedness will find us out. We don't need that to happen. We don't need our wickedness to find us out. We don't need our sin to stick us out. We don't need that. It's better if we get things right when God has given us a word instead of allowing the enemy to set us up for exposure. Because, because when God exposes us, he snatches the whole entire cover off of us. When God shows exposing is done, if we have not asked God to create in us a clean heart and renew within us the right spirit. The Lord is telling me to share that when Adam heard the voice of the Lord walking in the cool of the garden, that right there exposed Adam, because Adam ran. Him and Eve hid themselves. They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they ran. They were used to having fellowship with God, but now they ran. When we walk with God and the Lord shows up, if anything is wrong with our walk, he is the light of men. In him there's no darkness, but he exposes all darkness and all wicked things. We can't afford to be like Peter. And again, like the Lord said in the title, if you really knew what God was saying, then why is he having to teach it to you again? A lot of times God bring us through, end up having to go back in the classroom again because we didn't get it. But yet and still, here's what we say. And listen, there's nothing worse than the I know spirit. God has sent a word to you through a leader, through a minister, in one of the fivefold offices, and what happens is when the sheep say, I know, but when usually a wrong leader does it, a leader that fell and got off their post, instead of admitting the word of the Lord and admitting that they fell, oh, I know. Brother, the Lord said, you know, you got to stop doing certain things. I know. Brother, the Lord said that the ministry is in trouble. Yeah, I know. I got it, though. No, you don't got it. Because if you did, God wouldn't have to send nobody. Listen, Pastor, if the ministry was running right and operating according to how God wanted to operate the ministry, he wouldn't have to send a prophet or a prophetess. Listen, brother prophet, sister prophetess, the ministry God have you visiting, don't join them. Don't commit yourself to joining it because God got you there on assignment. Pastors cannot cultivate the gift of the prophet or the prophetess. Let's just be real. They can't do it. Because the pastor worked for the people, but the prophetess worked for God. So God got you there visiting that ministry because God wants to send the word there. And a lot of times what pastors do when they have revivals and stuff, they call one of their friends to come and share what they call a word because they don't want to let nobody that's there seeing the mess say nothing, nor do they allow anyone to come in that's really anointed. No. Mm-mm. If you're not part of the clique, then you don't get a speaking engagement sometimes. And there's some other things that are connected to that, but that's another lesson. Because a lot of times what we call revival or what we assume is a workshop for our betterment is